Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Kirsten Glavin, the youngest person to ever win the Bluefish Tournament. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How
morning.
Are you?
Morning.
Good, thank you. How old were you?
I was 12 years old.
12.
And were you fishing on a regular basis, or did you just happen to be on the boat? How did that happen?
Oh, yeah. I grew up, I loved to fish. That was my thing. So I was spending, a week on Long Island with my grandparents, and my uncle, who's a lobsterman out there, asked if I wanted to go into the tournament with him, and I said absolutely. So we were fishing.
And the next thing you know, you pull a giant bluefish out. Did you know it was a contender when you pulled it out?
Yeah, I think we definitely both knew we had something big on the line. We hit a school of bluefish, and it was one after another for like 10, 15 minutes.
The school zone.
And this fish that I had was different than the rest. You know how bluefish are very fighting fish, right? They pull, they give you a good fight. This was like dragging a tire across the bottom. It was,
damn.
I thought I was fighting like a bass or something different. I didn't think it was a bluefish. But by the time it got to the boat, we could see it was, but it was, you know, obviously massive compared to everything else we had pulled in.
Where were you?
So big, in fact, that my uncle grabbed a net, which normally we don't do. We were right in the Long Island Sound. We were, I forget where we went off of. I remember seeing the iconic smokestacks
right.
off in the distance.
Okay.
So.
Your poor calf, yeah.
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 You're 12, and this fish is like pulling a tire up from the bottom. You're getting help, or are you doing it by yourself?
Oh, no, I did it by myself.
We
were trolling, and we were taking turns just taking poles and reeling them in, and this one was mine. So, but we knew, I mean, it was pretty obvious that when I had this on the line, it was big, whatever it was. So my uncle stopped what he was doing, and when it got to the boat, he grabbed the net, and I remember it was the scariest moment of my life. He was bent over the boat trying to net the thing, and all of a sudden I feel the line pop, and I knew it had bit through my leader, which is a wire. Yeah. So it was like a moment of panic. But he came up on the side of the boat and he had it in the net, and he literally netted it as the bluefish was about to swim down.
Imagine that.
Yep.
It was a terrifying moment, but a moment of relief and excitement, because when that thing came in the boat, it was huge. We knew. And that was the last fish of the day for us. We were like, this is it. We're done. And we went back.
Huh.
And this was the first day of the tournament, too. So we went in, and he had it weighed. And I was told later that night we were in first place. I think my whole family was like, what? what's happening?
The first
right
day,
now?
And you didn't
first
go back
day.
Out the next day just to see. Maybe we'll have another lucky day.
Right,
or
try and get a bigger one.
No, I was 12. I had to go back to school. I was living in Massachusetts at the time. That's where I'm from.
Okay.
And 12-year-old Kirsten had to head back to go to class. So I had to skip the second day.
I like how you refer to your 12-year-old self in the third person.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, different character.
Yes.
How much did your
12-year-old
fish weigh?
Kirsten had to go to school.
Right. How much did your fish weigh?
It was 14.58 pounds.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah.
What's the average weight of a bluefish?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know the average, but
yeah.
I can tell you this is probably double the size of any bluefish I've pulled in.
Right.
I was going to say maybe half that, like
yeah.
maybe 7-8 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can catch bluefish, you know, big or small. They kind of vary in size, but this is definitely on the larger end.
Now, do you keep the fish afterwards? Do you eat it, or did you mount it? What did you do with it?
No, actually. So, obviously, it was on Long Island. The winning fish, we did have it mounted. I didn't do it, though. After I won, I was contacted by everyone under the sun for interviews because they found out quickly that I was 12.
It's a big story.
That believe I was the second female ever to win the tournament, too. So
yes.
Kind of a double whammy. But one of the people that asked me to do something was Tony Danza. So he brought me out to his show in New York. And after his live show, he actually gave me a replica of the bluefish I won, which was awesome. So I've had that hanging on my wall since then. I got his autograph and all that fun stuff. So
they lost the show. Yeah.
No, that's pretty amazing.
Yep.
We heard that your uncle took part of that prize money.
He did. I split it with him. Yeah.
And that was something is that something you wanted to do, or did he suggest it, or how did that work out?
Well, before we even went into the tournament, I think we talked about it. If we win, we'll split the money. It was one of those things.
Oh, okay.
And then after we actually won the tournament, it was like, oh, okay, I guess we're splitting the money.
Listen to me, 12-year-old Kirsten. You never pay for boat gas, so, you know.
Oh, really?
This happened.
You actually meant that, Uncle?
What was that?
Go ahead. So how much was the prize money?
It was $25,000.
Okay.
Yep. So it helped pay for a nice trip through Europe when I was in college and I studied in London.
Oh, so college age, Kirsten really enjoyed that money.
Yes. We definitely dipped into that savings account. Yep. So
that's
helped out a lot.
Just amazing. 12 years old, pulling out the big winner. I could picture a lot of guys, you know, those like crusty old fishermen just pissed.
Right. Wants a smelling fish. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I want to say there was like close to 5,000 commercial fishermen in it that year. And before we even, you know, hit the school of bluefish that we were into, we were fishing somewhere else in the middle. I guess everyone knows the hot spots in the area. So we were out, you know, surrounded by tons of boats. Everybody was fishing the hot spots that day, and you could tell they knew what they were doing. A lot of them, you know, did it for a living. But where we ended up catching the fish was just a totally different area. I got bored, and I told my uncle, I was like, I don't want to sit in this crowd of people. Can we move? And he was like, okay, he's very go with the flow, which is great. So we ended up moving to a different spot, going swimming for a little bit, and then he asked where I wanted to go. So I picked the spot that ended up, you know, just being bluefish after bluefish.
It's funny. So it's almost like the bluefish figured out where not to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And they went where everyone wasn't, and then you guys end up there, and you end up pulling out the, you know, one, a bunch of them, but then the winner.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were going by the spot that I ended up choosing when we were going to find a place to go swim, and I noticed that the birds were working there when we were going by. So I was like, oh, that's a good sign. So when we were heading back in, that was the spot I chose to fish, and it ended up being the best spot you could ever imagine. I've never hit a school of blues like that before. Certainly, you know, if the birds are working and you're fishing, you know, you're hitting solid fish, but it was one after another for the longest time. It was like you couldn't miss. The poles were down. We were trolling for 30 seconds, and you had another one on the line.
Oh, yeah, so that's a great sign. Have you fished the tournament since your win?
I don't believe I have. No, I think I was kind of one and done for me. My uncle has, though. He's gone back and had fun, but I haven't gotten a chance to go back out to Long Island. That time of year is tough.
Yeah.
When you're trying to go to school and stuff like that, but.
And now you're a reporter?
Yeah. Now I'm a TV news reporter. I work for a CBS affiliate in South Carolina.
Nice.
She's fishing for stories, by the way.
All right. Well, what a great story. Yeah. She's fishing for stories.
Right. Interviews. Yeah.
a great story. And, wow. Congratulations. Still, you're still, no one 11 years old has won this thing. So no one has beaten you yet.
Still the youngest,
you're still the record holder. You're still the youngest person to ever win the Bluefish tournament. So thanks for coming on and congratulations.
Of course. And good luck to everyone fishing this year.
Yes, of course.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Kristen. Chaz and AJ in the morning, PLR, the Port Jeff Ferry Bluefish tournament happening. When is it? 24th and the 25th, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that would not be this coming weekend.
Next weekend.
It would be the weekend after
right.
that. So you still have some time to register. We're linked up at WPLR.com. Prize is still $25,000. That's a lot of money. 30 years ago today, one of the most famous concerts in Connecticut concert history took place at Toad's Place. It was the Rolling Stones. On the phone now to talk about what led to that and what it was like is Live Nation concert god Jimmy Coplick. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. Nice to speak to you guys.
Nice to speak to you.
Nice to have
always.
You. As
always.
Yes.
So what happened? How did it happen?
Well, it was really a bit of a surprise to me. I will admit it. I knew the Stones were rehearsing it in Connecticut. They were rehearsing in Washington, Connecticut at a closed girls' boarding school. And I get a call from the tour manager who says to me that he would like to have the Stones play a surprise date, because they always open their tours up playing a date in a club. So they said, we don't know the date yet. It'll be one of these three or four dates. So they give me the three or four dates, and they said, which club should we play first? So I said, well, I think we should play Toad's Place. It's the best club in Connecticut, and we should see what's there. So I call up Mike and Brian, who own the club, and I said, these are the dates they're looking at. Can you hold them? And they, of course, said yes. I said, but I can't tell you what it's for. So they said, okay, fine. They trusted me. And then as each date passed that they had suggested to me, I kept saying to Brian and Mike, okay, don't worry. This date's still in front of us. And finally, about 5 days before the last that date, the Stones people called me and said, this is the date. It's going to be August 12th, 1980. It was in the year 1989. So I said, great. So they said, okay, what do you have in there? And I said, well, there's a dance party there. So they said, well, that doesn't really work. We're going to get a bunch of dance teenage girls there. It's, you know, we want to get rockers there. So I said, okay. Of course, I think of PLR first when you think of rock. And I said, okay, let me give you an idea. It is the day after my 40th birthday. Why doesn't PLR celebrate a 40th birthday for me? And we'll put it on the air, and people can buy tickets and stuff like that. And they go, okay, that's a good idea. What do you charge for the dance party? I said, $3. So they said, okay, that's fine. We're not looking to make money. So we get PLR on the case, and we announce there's going to be a party for me, my 40th birthday party, and the tickets are going to be $3. So what happens is we show up that night, and the opening act is a band named Sons of Bob, and we tell the band that they are opening up for they thought they were headlining for me. And we said, no, you're actually going to open up for another band, and the name of the band is the Rolling Stones.
And then as soon as you said that, was there vomit all over the floor? Like,
who's going to clean this up?
Well, the truth of the matter is that one of them actually collapsed on the floor.
Really?
Which was the funniest thing. His legs went out from under him. That was it. The legs just went down.
Right.
So they said, well, can we call our parents? And I said, well, we're trying not to get this out, so I don't know if you can call your parents. And it was pretty easy to control things because there were no pay phones then. I mean, there were only pay phones then. There were no cell phones.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, about an hour before the show, you can call your parents, but you can't tell them why. Just tell them to come down. So we had them call their parents, and we stood next to them on the payphone to hear exactly what they said to make sure they didn't say anything wrong. So we then had to decide how to get a few more people in, because only about 250 people were there. So we opened up the doors to the front of Toad's and said, come on in, come on in. We actually literally opened up the Toad's doors and let people in for free. And we had the Sons of Bob play. And then after the Sons of Bob played, Mike and I got up there, and we said very simply, ladies and gentlemen, welcome the Rolling Stones. And
right. They told you guys you can only say 5 words, right?
That's correct.
And then how did you pick who's going to say what word?
Mike agreed to start, and I said the Rolling Stones.
Nice.
That's how we did it.
That's fair.
He started, and I finished. And they played, I think it was 12 songs. And Start Me Up was the first song. And, of course, the place went crazy because, you know, it's the Rolling Stones in a 750-seat club. In 1989, the Steel Wheels tour, when it was the Stones were just at the top of their game. Not that they're not at the top of the game still, but
yeah,
they were really at the top of the game then. And then after the show ended, they called me down, and they said, we have a birthday gift for you. I said, oh, really? What is it? And they handed me a $10,000 check.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Nice.
Really?
It was a good birthday.
Damn right.
Happy birthday to me!
That was in 1989, $10,000.
Yeah, really. I still take it today, but yes.
Yeah, what would that be now? It'd be like 20.
I would think so.
Yeah. Wow. I'm guessing that's probably the biggest birthday gift anyone's ever given you, right?
Yes. And it really was, you know, you saw one of the biggest concerts. It was the biggest concert, I think, ever in Connecticut. Not size-wise, of course, but now size-wise, because I think about 10 million people say they were there. And there was probably only about 450 people in the club.
Really?
Yeah, we disconnected every payphone so nobody can call anybody.
I heard some of them were duct-taped.
We duct taped it. We told our buddies at PLR to come down. I'm so friendly with the people at PLR that they agreed to come down just to celebrate my birthday. And so it was really, really nice that my good friends were there, even though they had no idea. And also my friends that I was home with. I said, come up, my birthday party's at Toes. Never told them what it was about. And then the Stones came on.
So you never told Wiggy Lappy that it was the Stones? You just said, it's my birthday party?
Tell a disc jockey a secret?
Yeah, really bad idea.
Yeah, I guess that's a stupid question.
He said there's some guys same age you about to play here. That's why.
How many of the 450 people in attendance were surprised when they heard the words, ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones?
I would say probably about 80 to 85%.
Wow.
It really wasn't 100% because the some of the boxes on the stage said the Rolling Stones on it, but you had to look up there and you had to really focus on those boxes and see that. And we tried to turn everything around so they would know it, but we know we couldn't get everyone. So I think there were some people that probably got a glimpse of it, but because, again, it wasn't the era of social media, very few people actually knew it before they took the
stage. I have to tell you, I'm not a detective, and if I saw those boxes with the Rolling Stones, the road crates, I'd say, why would they loan their equipment to Sons of Bob?
Right.
Or
they bought that stuff from them. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Is this old Rolling Stones stuff that they purchased? Or
right.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put that together.
And the Sons of Bob were all sons of fathers named Bob.
No.
Which I asked. I said, how'd you come up with this stupid name? It wasn't so stupid.
There's some formula there.
Stupid name.
Right. Oh, Desi and Bob.
How many songs into their set before a crowd started forming outside?
Within probably 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was loud. We opened up the doors. We purposely opened up the doors. We thought it'd be really cool to open up the doors. And because we could fit more people in. So we opened up the doors. We wanted to get a little more crowded. It was really a bit disappointing to us because it wasn't as crowded as we wanted it to be.
Yeah, Sons of Bob don't draw, apparently.
Well, yeah.
And my 40th birthday didn't.
Well, no.
Wiggy was there and Lappy was there. There were, you know, disc jockeys that were there because they wanted to celebrate my birthday party, which was very kind.
Because they're good friends.
I got gifts. People sent me gifts. Belts were very. I got a lot of belts that night. I don't know what that was.
Belts. Right. That's funny.
Not the kind of belt they wanted, but okay.
There's a couple of urban legends floating around, and one is that one person found out by being in a liquor store in New Haven as somebody from Toads was in there getting a couple of cases of Keith Richards' favorite drink. I forgot what that was.
Called anything.
But it was a very specific alcohol, and the person was getting a case or two.
Right.
And they thought, oh, this is... I know what this means.
Yeah.
And that's one of the urban legends I heard. And another one was some people walked up to the door because they heard a rumor that the Stones were playing. So they get to the door and they said, how much is admission tonight? And they said, whatever it was, $1, $2.99, $3. And they said, oh, the Stones aren't playing here, and left.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's so funny.
That would be the worst, you know, next morning
yeah.
when it's all over the news.
When you walk into traffic, yes.
Yeah.
No, you're you're right. It was $2.99. That was the price, and no doubt about it. That who would have thunk, right? Although ticket prices were pretty cheap then.
Yeah, but dirt
they weren't $2.99. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, they weren't dirt cheap. Yeah.
And do you have the set list there, Phil?
I do. Yeah. So on YouTube, you can find what they are claiming is this whole concert.
Jimmy, what was management, the Stones management like? Were they walking around looking for recording devices?
No.
No.
Not at all.
No one patted down on the way in?
Was anyone maybe accidentally recording?
I think Mike recorded it. He gave me a tape of it, and I have no idea where it is.
No.
It's something you can't listen to anyway. Who can listen to a tape these days?
Right.
I was going to say, based on the way that Jimmy explained how the introduction went down, I can tell that this thing on YouTube is not exactly the same.
I was looking for audio all weekend, and then I heard, once you hear the introduction,
you know,
and if it's one person,
yeah,
and then you know it's not Jimmy and Mike.
Exactly.
Yeah, not legit.
And then the other thing is you hear the crowd's sound.
And it sounds like there's three times the amount of people that should be there.
Right.
Yeah.
So
enhanced.
What do you have? You have audio you think could...
This is what's claiming to be the Toads Play Show.
All right, hold on. That didn't sound like Jimmy. Hold on. Go back.
Okay. Go back. All right.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Nah, too high a voice. Listen.
Jimmy?
You know what? It sort of did sound like me, I think, but it sounded way too stadium-like.
Too busy.
Yeah.
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 It sounded way too stadium-like to me, so I don't think it was.
And it seems like they knew that they were coming on before you said it. There was no like, oh! Like, yeah, you said like 80% of the people were surprised, so that doesn't fit.
Yeah, they'd be like a little delay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but they did get up on the stage probably before, I don't quite remember, before I...
Okay.
Yeah, were you on...
Before I introduced them.
Were you on the stage or in the booth?
I was on the stage.
Oh, wow. So you were on the stage, and there's Mick Jagger like 3 feet away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
He's tiny, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a short guy. He's short. I'm 5'7", and I'm taller.
Wow.
Yeah, he's short. Wow. But he's Mick Jagger. He's very tall.
Well, you picture him 8 feet tall, you know?
Yeah, they all fit in one road case.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of band artists are like that. It's the funniest thing in the world to see a lot of them. They're nowhere near as tall as you think they are.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the set list?
Set list, according to Setlist FM, as Jimmy said, they open with Start Me Up. Number two, they go into Bitch. And the note here is it's the first time since the 3rd of September 1973 they've played that live. Tumbling Dice, Sad, Sad, Sad was the live debut of the song. Miss You, Little Red Rooster, a Willie Dixon cover, Honky Tonk Women. Mixed Emotions, the live debut of that as well. It's Only Rock and Roll, But I Like It. Brown Sugar. And end it with Jumpin' Jack Flash.
So it says,
Jesus.
So it says, "Stop me a bitch." Nice.
Is that you? Does that sound right?
Yes, yeah. That's right. The reason Mixed Emotions and Sad, Sad, Sad were originals, first time they played, was because that was the new album that just had come out.
Exactly. First public Stones concert since July 25th of 1982. At this time,
Jumpin' Jack Flash in Toads, then they walk off. All right, the place just the people must have been going bananas.
It was unquestionably, in my opinion, the most exciting concert I've ever been to, which makes, I guess, a lot of sense.
And then you get $10,000.
Yeah, even better.
They paid you.
Really?
They paid you.
Really? It's true.
You have a check.
I would have paid them.
See, when I grow up, I'm gonna be Jimmy.
All right.
I spent it already.
That night, the
stealthy thing in there, and I wished Jimmy a happy birthday yesterday, and he said, if you tell anyone about my age, I'll have to kill you, so I didn't mention it, but he did say in there that it was the day after his 40th birthday, so you could do the math on that. It's the 30th anniversary of his 40th birthday. So
yeah, I can't do math.
Happy birthday, my brother. I don't think there's another concert promoter on the planet who has a cooler story about their 40th birthday, and...
Got paid by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, really. Got the best birthday gift.
Seriously, man.
From the Rolling Stones.
Yep.
It's never happened again.
Yeah.
One time is enough. I think that's good.
That's it. Once
Isn't
in a lifetime moment.
And Chaz, I appreciate you keeping my other secret very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, sure. Now we're never going to know.
Is, This is why he doesn't tell radio people the Rolling Stones are coming to Toad's Place.
Right.
Because
right.
he knows you?
Because he right. knows what radio people do. They're right. not good.
The people who make a living talking, right. talk. That's all
talk.
It is.
That's yeah. right. This is what they do.
They leave right. it the next day, yes.
What was it like backstage after the show? Did they stay and hang around and chit-chat, or were they right on a bus and out of there?
No, they stayed around. They chit-chatted. You know, I don't know people. That many people know what the downstairs of Toad is like. The dressing room for the artists is really nice, but the rest of it's pretty old, I should say. Now, I haven't been down there. Maybe Brian's fixed it up, so I haven't been down there. We're actually starting to promote shows there again.
Oh, nice.
Shortly, so I'll run over there and look at it. But it really was very chit-chatty. They loved the show. They thought it was really cool. They hadn't been on stage, as you just heard, from 7 years. And they were very, very up. Very, very up, very excited. And then they walked out. They walked out the front door.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, they walked out the front door. I have a picture of Jagger walking out the front door of my office.
Well, Keith kind of stumbled, but yeah.
Jimmy, any chance you could later, if you're in office, take a shot of that and I could post it?
I will take a shot. I'm actually taking my grandchildren to a Yankee game today.
Awesome. Oh, nice.
But if I don't get somebody in my office to do it today, I will send it to you tomorrow. Oh, but I'll try to get somebody in my office to send it to you today.
Oh, thank you. Were there people waiting outside?
Tons.
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 That's
As we said, we opened the doors up. We let about 100 more people in to make it feel more crowded, and then we shut the doors, and then it got all around.
Imagine being the 101st person. Damn it!
Right.
The door's closed. No!
And then so he goes out there, and he signs autographs or whatever. I mean, if you're walking right out the front door, then
yeah, you have at least one
you
autograph.
Want to meet the people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he really signed, I think, an autograph or two, but he went right into their bus, and they drove back off to Washington, Connecticut.
Wow. Unbelievable. Still the most talked about concert in Connecticut.
With good reason.
Yep.
Of course.
The 30th anniversary of the Rolling Stones playing Toad's Place in New Haven for Jimmy's birthday. So, again, happy birthday, Jimmy. Thanks for sharing that story. John from Madison says he was at the Rolling Stones show 30 years ago today.
Just got home, too.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Good. Hello. How did you hear about it? How did you end up at Toad's Place?
Well, that's the strange part of the story. My mom owned a store in Brandon.
Who's calling?
John from Madison.
No, I mean, the beep tones you're hearing right now, little deets.
That might have been my ear. Sorry about that, guy.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, weird ear.
Big ears.
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah, and very holy thorough, crap. Too. To dial
big
for
ears,
pizza.
Big feet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyways, my mom owned a paint store, and one of the owners lived in Brantford down there, Pine Orchard. And his wife came into the store often, I guess, and said, do your kids like, you know, rock music or whatever? And she said, yes. And she said, well, I think it's a good idea that they go down there tonight. There's going to be a special band there. And so my mom said, you know, who was it? She said, I can't tell you. And I guess my mom said something like, well, if I guess, will you tell me? And so anyways, the long and short is my mom called me and said, you got to go down to the show tonight. And I said, oh, geez, it's, 6:30 on a Friday or Saturday. I don't remember what day it
Saturday.
Was. Yeah, okay. So I thought that was right. And so I went down there and to go, and I had been to Toad's on their dance nights and stuff. And to go down there on a Saturday night at 6:30, to be one of the people that would already be in there and not get shut out was weird. So I went down there and I stood around for all those hours and I met a couple, you know, older guys in Maine. I said, what are you here for? Oh, there's supposed to be a surprise here. And I said, well, what do you think it is? And we had decided that, yeah, we thought it was that. And it ended up being that. And it was awesome. I mean, I'm a big guy, like 6'3". And so I was, you know, probably 30, 40 feet from Mick Jagger. And he's looking at me, you know, he's got that cool smile. And I'm like, I tell my friends this, I'm like, I know Mick Jagger wanted to make out with me. I know it. But I don't think he did.
Wow, it's like you read, read his mind, man.
Yeah, no.
Mind blown.
I'm sure
he's
thinking about you today.
Right.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, I wasn't a huge Stones fan. I mean, I knew all their songs. I liked harder rock. But it was awesome. It was really, really great. I'm so, so happy I did. And then apparently, I remember that was a Steel Wheels tour. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, maybe a month, they played Shea Stadium. And my roommate...
I went to that show.
Yeah, we went to Southern. We were going to Southern at the time. He was so pissed at me that I didn't get in contact with him. at that time, there were the beginnings of, like, flip phones and things like that, the beginnings of cell phones.
Mm.
So I had one and did try to call my roommate and said, you should go down there. But I don't know if he had one or didn't get the message. He was so
I believe the cell phones back then were the size of a knapsack, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that they went to the concert at Shea Stadium and didn't tell me that they had gone. And I said, why didn't you guys tell me? Said, you didn't tell me you went to the other show. I said, okay.
Yeah, tip of cat. Yeah.
Unbelievable. But, you know, when you think about them playing Brown Sugar into Jumpin' Jack Flash and then walking off the stage, I just think, I don't know. Does any concert moment get any better than that? The Rolling Stones in a 700-seat venue doing the finishing off with those two songs. You can't beat that.
That's mic drop, walk away. Boom.
Yeah. All the times I've had to go see them, I thought, well, I could go see them at this stadium or that stadium, and I thought, it's never going to be as good as it was.
Never going to be that. Never. No.
And all the shows I've been to, I've never been as close to that famous of an artist as I have been to that show there.
Right.
So it was awesome for that. It was awesome for that.
All right. Thank you for sharing
that, John.
Happy
birthday, Jimmy, too.
Happy birthday. Good people.
Happy birthday to you.
Take care, guys.
John, thank you, brother. All right. So we go from John in Madison to another person in Madison. It's Jim. Jim, is it Maynard or Menard?
Maynard.
Maynard. Madison Little League coach. Congratulations on what a great run your team had.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning. Yeah, it was a tremendous run. Tremendous run. We just got back in town yesterday.
Welcome back. We're all very proud of everything all your players achieved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it was special. It ended up being more than we ever could have imagined. You know, I've been together coaching this group with two other gentlemen, Brian Jeremiah and John Ray, since they were 9 years old. And, you know, just to see the progression these last four summers was just special. We knew we had a special group of kids that could do something really cool. But you always talk about it. You just, when it actually happens, you're kind of blown away to watch it and see it unfold.
You knew at the beginning of the season you had a special crew.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, we knew we had a special crew, but it takes a lot of winning. You have to have a lot of things go your way along the way. It's not just winning the games that you play. You have to get lucky and have other things happen to kind of put you in a good spot. You know, I would say that, you know, the Little League World Series tournament that starts out in the summer is the largest youth tournament in the world. It's about 200,000 teams in over 80 countries. Every state in the U.S. has a team that they put forward. Into a you know, wins a state championship. So we were one of those teams. And we were fortunate enough to have an unbelievable experience along the way. You know, we had 13 awesome kids that really contributed to the team. You know, we obviously had our stars that were very reliable kids, but we just had kids up and down the lineup that were it was almost like a different hero each game, and the outcome of each game was dictated by someone else stepping up and doing their job. It was pretty sweet.
What a great story.
Yeah.
And then Friday sounds like a real nail biter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was tough. So we went up to the regionals here in Bristol. We lost our first game, actually, to the Vermont state champion. On Sunday, we had Monday off to kind of stew and mull it over. And then we played Tuesday and Wednesday. We beat Massachusetts, and then we beat Maine on Wednesday. Had Thursday off, and then we went into that great game against Rhode Island where – ultimately, we were two games away from the Little League World Series down in Williamsport, and actually, that's a special thing because only 8 U.S. teams make it there, and only 8 international teams make it there.
Wow!
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
What do you tell the kids first? How did you feel about Rhode Island when you evaluated them and took a look at them? And then, what do you tell the kids before they go out and play Friday?
Well, as coaches, we speak differently amongst each other than we obviously do to the kids. We felt we had a great chance, and whoever we played, you know, Rhode Island was ended up being a really, really sound fundamental team. But the eyeball test said, hey, we have a really good shot against these guys going into the game. They just it was one of those games where it was 0-0 kind of late into the game, and we knew whoever blinked first and whoever flinched was going to probably lose the game, and that ended up, you know, it was us, and they ended up, you know, scraping a few runs together and beating us. You know, we tell the kids to just go out and do their best no matter who they play.
Right.
You know, we talk about being a collective team, and that's how we got here, and that's how we were going to ultimately win and survive.
Phil said there was a moment, there was two, Didn't you guys fill the bases, and then they also...
First inning was really exciting.
First inning, right?
No doubt. First two innings of the game against Rhode Island, both teams had the bases loaded in the first two innings. Neither team scored.
Wow.
There was a lot of opportunities. It's one of those games where you look back and you say, man,
this
how
happens
do we not
differently.
Do this?
This ball bounces this way. Yeah.
It's baseball, though, man. I mean, we all watch baseball, and we all know how it can develop and how things go.
Well, again, congratulations to you, all your coaches, all your kids, and the families, and we're very, very proud.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having us on and spreading the word about Madison. We really appreciate
it. Our honor. Thank you, Jim. Why are you at court today? Who are we talking to, Pete?
Anthony.
Anthony!
You mind if this goes on the air?
No.
What are you here for today?
Here for a court case.
What'd you do?
It's a long story. I brought home this chick from the bar. You know, we had been chopping it up all night. I'm buying her drinks. She's buying me drinks.
Chopping it up.
I thought it meant something different we did in the 80s.
Like cutting lines?
Just, yeah.
Oh. I thought chopping it up meant talking.
Yeah.
You're chit-chatting.
Or making a salad.
Making a salad.
Yeah. You know, chopping broccoli.
Yeah. Yeah, you do the radishes. I'll do the tomatoes.
Right. Celery. He's chopping.
Yeah. Rose radishes.
Ah, okay. So maybe they were making salad. Right. Okay.
Toss it. And one thing led to another, and we split a cab on the way home.
Uber?
No. Okay. An actual cab, yep. Didn't have
That's
enough
a weird
money.
One right there.
Right.
An actual cab.
One of the three left in the state.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bridgeport still has a lot.
Wow.
It's a joke, Pete.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
My God, I'm going to call you Jennifer.
You can leave
kill every friggin' joke.
Yeah, don't Pete the joke.
And pull that gun out. Boom.
Right.
Oh! Okay, that was a joke, hon.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Thanks for
humor. Got 2 6 guns. Yep. They kill jokes like nobody's business.
Like, yeah.
I picked an absurdly low number on purpose, Pete, for comedic effect.
Okay. Right.
But thanks for, peeling that one apart.
Fact check.
Right.
Thanks for chopping that one up.
Yeah, yeah. Way to go.
Really chopping it up this morning.
I didn't have enough money in my wallet, so I made her pay for it. We get back to the house. I bring her inside, and I keep trying to, I wanted to leave the lights on. I think you know where I'm going with this. I wanted to, yep. she was really good looking. I was really enjoying it, so I wanted to leave the lights on. She keeps telling me to turn the lights off.
Now, what does that tell you about him? Like, no, I don't want to see this.
Right.
Right? Turn the light off.
Right.
I want to turn it on. I want to remember this moment. I don't.
It's been 47 minutes since I had a gin and tonic, and I sing too much now.
Right.
So I turn it back on, and she keeps, flicking it off, and I'm flicking it back on, and finally I just let her win. So it's dark in there, and one thing leads to another, and I'm feeling up there, and everything's great, and then I go down below, and there's something there that's not supposed to be there.
Hot dogs and beer?
An open container of beer?
Nuts!
An open container of beer is bad. You get a ticket.
Nuts!
Wait, is it a half a sandwich? A half a sandwich? We had the tuna fish. It'd be really bad because it rots.
A container of beer.
An open container of beer. This is not my Pabst Blue Ribbon. Nuts!
Well, it's down there.
Nuts!
A guy meets a girl at a bar, brings her home. They start making out. He slides his hands down there.
Down.
Right. Down below. Downstairs.
For ankle, right. Yeah.
And finds something that shouldn't be there.
Concealed weapon.
Maybe.
Yeah. What's that, Pete?
Picnic food.
A ham sandwich.
Hot dogs and beans.
What's a ham sandwich?
Oh, God.
That's a barbecue, Pete.
All right. Let's go back to the tape. Why are you at court today?
Hot dogs and beans?
Yeah, there was you could say hot dog, or you could say kibasa or sausage, I don't know.
Oh, wow, it's a whole meat market down there.
Right. Apparently.
Wow, look at that. Well, she's Polish, obviously.
Right, if you go with kielbasa,
kielbasa, right, yeah. Right.
Don't we look for the Adam's apple, though, when we're at the clubs?
I don't live this life.
Yeah.
So
if it's dark out, you really can't see.
True.
I've heard stories about this.
If you're wearing a turtleneck, you have no idea.
Right.
Which is weird in the summertime.
Yeah.
What celebrity got arrested for punching out someone.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
The guy from Iron Man, right? What's his name?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey, right? Was it Robert Downey or was it Sheehan?
I don't remember.
Let's see. I know Eddie Murphy got caught with one.
Right.
Pretty sure it was Gwyneth Paltrow.
I'm thinking like Sean Penn or someone like that. Like,
I don't
like
know.
One of the punchy people.
I definitely don't remember.
I've never had this happen.
Wasn't Alec Baldwin, you know,
thankfully.
That. He liked it.
I don't, you know, everyone should live however they
exactly.
want to live.
Exactly.
I'm glad I'm not.
Live and live.
It was just a surprise.
Right.
It's
like,
a surprise.
Oh my God.
That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Some people yeah. are not into that.
Right.
So.
Like a pineapple pizza, for example.
Lunchtime, you know, barbecue time, a surprise kielbasa could be very welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. It depends. yeah.
You have to time the surprise kielbasa.
If it's Polish day and you got the, you know, the kielbasa along with the pierogies, you're good.
All right, let's go back to the audio.
I'm hungry now.
What
also,
you want
she had
to call?
A big one.
Yeah, it was relatively large, so we get into a fight, and my neighbors heard, you know, the ruckus and called the police.
So you called a domestic?
Got a domestic assault. Yeah.
Is it domestic because she was a guy or?
It was an assault charge, not domestic.
So how's your case going? This your first time here, or you got like multiple?
First time here.
Yeah, it's probably like 5 or 6 times, huh?
He's probably going to be more than just today.
Probably going to be more than just today.
Right.
Yeah. And then it just ended abruptly.
Well, my phone did an update.
No.
I hate droids.
Drop the kielbasa on the phone and
exactly right.
It hit end.
Yeah, now I know how the kielbasa ends.
Left a big mustard smear.
It did.
Wow.
It did. I was excited to meet this person.
What's going on over there?
Yeah, seriously.
Is she right. choking on a kielbasa?
I'm not going to look to my left over here.
I was afraid to look too, honestly.
Yeah. Don't look at the cameras right now, people.
Wow.
God's sake, don't act it out.
Yeah. That's I think you have to reveal that before it's revealed that way. I think if you're the whoever this person identifies with, whatever they are, they should have said before you go down there,
right.
I just wanna let you know. There's a whole different world down there than what you're picturing.
Unless they assume that they're there to be with the same-sex person. Like, why are you here?
Yeah, so what happened in that interview after your phone turned off? Did you ask what kind of bar you went to? Or
How does that conversation begin? Like, how did they meet?
What kind of estrogen pills? Was she talking like this? Or did she have a, you know?
That's what you were asking?
I should have asked.
Do you went the medical route?
Yeah, how did the voice sound?
Okay.
Well,
there's a lot of indicators.
He was fooled, so.
I see pictures online, and I would never be able to tell the difference.
Like, I think RuPaul's hot.
Just going to let that one sit out there for a second.
That one.
Well, I mean, if you looked at her and you didn't know it was a guy, I mean, look how. Yeah, whatever. It's 2019.
This is the sound of him digging himself down deeper.
Oh, we all just looked at each other.
I'm married with a woman. That's okay.
So welcome to Monday.
Jazz is like, okay.
So it's a nice sunny day outside, isn't it, Jazz?
Thanks, Pete.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.